Hey friends, and welcome back to the podcast. This is your host, Kristen. Today, I have a great guest interview for you. We're going to talk about stepping into change. We're going to talk about stepping into work or desires or dreams that God has put on your heart and what it looks like to actually take action to move into that. She's written several books and they're so beautiful. And I know you're going to be so lifted up by this conversation. Welcome to Faith-Fueled Woman, a podcast designed for Christian women eager to deepen their faith and shine God's light in every aspect of their lives. Each week, we'll delve into practical strategies, inspiring stories, and biblical wisdom to equip you with the tools you need to navigate life's challenges and grow deeper in your faith. From finding calm in the chaos, forming deep Christian friendships, to everyday ways to connect with God, we'll cover it all. Hi, I'm your host, Kristen. I'm an encourager, a faith-led entrepreneur, a mom, and a wife. Let's be encouraged in our everyday lives as we let our faith guide us, fuel us, and fill us with God's incredible peace, wisdom, and joy in our lives. Hey friends, before we jump into today's episode, I just wanted to let you know, head on over to my website, kristenfitch.com. I have lots of freebies for you. I have a Reignite Your Passion workbook, and it's all about helping you reconnect with those desires and dreams on your heart that God's given to you. And I also have a Joyful Living devotional workbook. So go over to my site and go grab those now. They're both free and they're beautiful and great resources that I made just for you. Hi, today on the podcast, I would like to welcome my guest, Jamie Klusicek. She's an author, a speaker, and a podcaster. She's authored 4 books. Her most recent books are The Confident Woman and Choose Truth. And she's just recently launched a podcast with her friend, Mallory Jane Brown, called Divine Table Talk. And I cannot wait, you guys, to share this episode with you because we are going to talk about how do we be confident as a woman? How do we find our confidence from God instead of in ourselves only? And it's going to be such a good conversation. She's really written some beautiful books. She has so much knowledge of the Bible and just how do we apply that to our lives. So I want to welcome her today. Welcome, Jamie.
Thank you so much for having me, Kristen. What an opportunity. I'm so honored to be here.
Oh, so good. We're going to have a great time. So can you start off with just telling us a little bit about what life looks like and the work you're doing and how did this all transpire?
Yeah, this is crazy. I know we talked a little bit beforehand and you asked, did I want to write when I was 5 years old? You know, how did this all come about? And my story in a nutshell, I would say, is I grew up and at 13 years old, I gave my heart to God for the first time. So all my resources are faith-based. I'm a Christian and I just love that field. And I love your podcast because you bring in God into the midst of our daily lives. So I'm loving that. I married my high school sweetheart. So he was a foreign exchange student to my high school, my senior year. And we got married after college. I studied English literature in college and then Bible and music. And so after college, when we got married, we were an intern, like interns at our church, and we were on staff there for about 13 years. And mostly I did a lot of musical things. So singing and playing, things like that, overseeing teams. And then about 12 years ago, we moved out here to Denver, Colorado, where we helped launch a church for the first time. I was on staff at that church for about 10 plus years. And just last year, I stepped off my part-time role and I stepped into basically writing and mothering and now podcasting full-time. We have 4 daughters, which we love to pieces, 3 teenagers, and then our youngest is 10. And so getting to here has been a journey. I would say that I love your podcast because you ask some really tough questions that I think are so essential for us for growth as we grow as women into what we're called to be. I would say that there's a difference between calling and assignment. I think as believers, we are always called to our faith and to be disciples of Christ. And so that is constantly growing. And we bring that everywhere we go in life. But our assignment, I would say, is something that we need to hold loosely and say, okay, God, what is your assignment for me in this season? Because I don't know about you. When I was in college, I thought I need to decide for the rest of my life exactly what I'm going to do. And I can't veer from that at all. And then when you say things like that, your worth and identity starts to be wrapped up, not in who you are, like loved by God, a disciple of Christ, but in what you do. Yes. And when you get to that point, it gets dangerous because there's always someone who can outperform you. There's always someone younger who can work longer hours. You know, I'm right now 44. And I guess the transition between writing, you know, I was on staff and I loved it to pieces, but I was looking at my life and the grace to run at a certain pace had been lifted. And I was finding it harder and harder to do everything that I used to do in my 20s. Now when I was 40, and I just felt God speaking to my heart after so much prayer, so much working with our pastors, that this was something I needed to release. Mm-hmm. And I'd already been writing. I really felt strongly called to just write and to create faith-based resources that would strengthen people and even draw people who didn't know God in a very unassuming way. Like the books are designed very beautifully, intentionally, so that anyone could have this sitting on their coffee table, but in turn, it would draw them to the Lord. And so the transition came when I was, well, let's see, it was last year. So I was what, 42, 43. And it was such a tough transition for me. If I'm going to be honest, Kristen, I was like, if I don't do this, like what I've been trained to do, you know, what am I going to do in my life? But it was such a sweet time to be able to go back to God and say, God, you're more than enough for me. I trust that as I align my life to the values that you've put on the inside of me internally, that you are able to do the miraculous through what I put my hand to. And that was a big leap and step of trust, saying, God, I trust you more than my own reasoning, than what I've always put my hand to, than what I know really, really well how to do. And God, because I feel you directing, I'm going to release that thing. And I'm going to trust that you're going to care, take care of me. And so that's a little bit of my journey up until this point.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So good. And I love that you kind of separated out, you know, kind of that everyone has a call or calling, right, to basically walk as Christians in the world, you right. know, in what that can look like and hopefully does look like, you know, obviously most of us are always on a growth journey. So that might change yeah. over time. It has for me. And then you talked about, you know, the assignments and how that changes in the season. So I love that you shared that and just how things looked different in your life, because like most of us, that's the reality of it. Like you said, most of us didn't get a job when we were 20 and we still have that job. There are some of those people, but majority yeah. of us have changed. And a lot of people actually have that new assignment to step into a even bigger faith role
yes.
later on. I mean, one of the pastors that I interviewed, a woman pastor, she was a college professor and she actually tried to go into faith teaching earlier, but it didn't work out. And so it wasn't until she was in her 40s, she became a pastor,
yeah.
you know, and same, like I didn't start, you know, doing my faith-based podcast until 2 years ago, you know, so surely I was a Christian. I mean, I grew up, you know, faith-based and that sort of thing, but I wasn't actively sharing it in a public way
yes.
other than in my community or something like that. And so, yeah. you know, these things change and I get it. All of us are going to have different roles to play or way we show up in the world. But yeah. I love that you shared how you are doing that.
Oh my goodness. Thank you. I know I've talked with some of my friends about this and this is so funny, but it's almost as if when you hit, you know, the late 30s, maybe early 40s, you know, they call it a midlife crisis, but it's not a crisis per se. It's actually one of the greatest springboards to bring you into a new level. And it's almost as if you're 18 again and you're on the precipice of college and your life is before you. You start really looking internally and saying, okay, wait a minute, you know, and you talked about this in some of your episodes, but am I really doing what I genuinely feel is my assignment for this season of my life? Or am I just sort of doing a bunch of things and staying really busy so that I don't have to dig down deep and ask the deep questions before God?
Yeah.
Really come face to face with, you know, God may be asking me to really believe him in new levels in this season. Do I have what it takes to say yes to God. Because I don't know about you, that yes to God isn't just a one-time thing when you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, which is a phenomenal moment. But right. It is like the starting point for yes after yes after yes after yes that God asks you to say again and again over to him. And sometimes you're sacrificing by saying yes, you're sacrificing something that is very precious to you, or a mindset that you've just hung on to and maybe has served you well for a decade or two decades, but now he's asking you to go deeper. And I feel like when we hit that age or that stage, late 30s, early 40s, it's just an opportunity really to say yes one more time to God and say, okay, God, I'm going to give you what I have and I'm going to ask you to do a miracle in it. And so that has sort of been my story, you know, the past few years.
Yeah, I absolutely align with that, because there are many a days where I'm like, okay, look, I'm just still building, right? This stuff that I'm building, I'm still working, you know, 2 years in, that's pretty new, because even at the beginning, I was trying to quite navigate it. And now I'm getting, you know, clearer and clearer. But there are days where I'm like, gosh, my husband really liked it when I had a full-time corporate salary, or when I, right? And it's because I'm still building. And so, you know, there are days where I'm like, oh, you know, I don't know, maybe this just needs to be on the side and it's not my primary, you know, so I have to kind of, like you said, check back in and say, no, I know what I'm being kind of called to do, right? Where I'm being led, and I have to just be faithful to do that. You know what I mean? And kind of go with it, if you will. Of course, I'm not telling anybody, like, don't pay your bills. Obviously, we have no issues.
Yes, I know you need to do that. Yeah.
Right. But the point is, it is absolutely a time of transition, and it can be different times for everybody. I think a lot of people, it hits, if you do have kids, it's as your kids get older. Yes. Because like you, for some of your kids, mine are, and you know, late high school and two are college age. And so, you know, that's once again, where you're like, gosh, I have a lot more free time than I used to have, you know? Yes. And so you have more time to think about these things than when your kids were really little, to be honest with you. And so you're so right about that. And I love that. And we both talk about, I mean, I always say that God's calling us into adventure. He's not calling us to live a stagnant, really a mundane life. And by mundane, I don't mean if you do the same thing every day. I mean, he's calling us to different seasons. He's calling us to new challenges. And I know you talk about that in your book. And I love that about one of your chapters. It's so beautiful.
Yeah, I know. I think the older that we get, for me, the older that I get, Kristen, the harder it is to change. I'm just being honest. Like, I like the security. I like my routine. I like knowing where my kids are going to be and when. And so when God steps in and wants to disrupt that routine, I really have to get before God and ask him to give me a heart to love and embrace change. Okay. And that is hard. There's some change that happens in life that we can't control. There's other change that just happens. It's like transitional change where, you know, you're growing and you're learning and change just happens. And then there's other change though, that I find he asked me to do, that I call in the book, in Confident Woman, I have a chapter called Confident Change, but I call it pioneering change. Mm-hmm. That's the hardest change, because he's asking me to step out in faith and do something that I don't necessarily feel comfortable doing. And many times it's a faith change, meaning I don't know what's going to happen on the other side. Right. I have to trust him without knowing the details, without knowing the outcome, without having the set salary, like you're saying.
Right. Yeah.
Like, where are the numbers? Like, show me, you know, 18 months, I can be here. And, you know, those things are great. Strategic thinking, I think, is so valuable in our lives. But there's some moments in our lives that really just take faith, and you don't have anything else to stand on, but the word of God and what you feel like he's nudging you in your spirit. You've prayed about it. You've asked wise counsel about it. And after you've done all of that, it's time to move. And that pioneering change is something that I think for the most part of my life, I've sort of fought against with the Lord, But on the other side of it, when I say yes to it, it has been some of the most rewarding seasons of my entire life. Yeah. And so, you know, I hit this season, and my passion, honestly, really is to share who Jesus is with this world. So through faith-based resources, through the podcast, Divine Table Talk, trying to help create a hunger in people's hearts and lives for the word, and that they are just so worthy and so loved by God that they function out of that place of worth and not out of a place of self-doubt and even self-confidence, honestly, because there's a difference between self-confidence and God confidence. And the thing that will stand the test of time, I believe, is building our lives on God confidence. So, man, so much to talk about on that subject.
Yeah, I love it. I know you had a really great quote that I had written down about that. Let me see. I have it here somewhere. Yeah, you said, here's what I've learned. Self-confidence produces little lasting fruit, but God confidence will stand the test of time. And I was like, yes, that for sure. We need to preach that for sure. Because, you know, it's hard. I mean, that's cultures all around us. And it's telling us, you know, and it's telling us like, oh, you know, be confident. We're never going to feel confident all the time just because of what we wear, what we do. Like you said, our identity, we're only going to get that from God, you know, but it can be hard, right? Because that's a constant message that we hear, you know, do all the things and then you'll feel more confident. And I'm not saying those things aren't fine to do. It's just not going to give you that depth that you need.
No, it's not like that lasting confidence, Kristen. Right. I think in that chapter, I talk about the difference between Saul and David. And they both had equal opportunity. They both were anointed by God to be the king, a king for Israel, for the nation of Israel. But Saul, he appeared confident, right? Because the Bible says he was a head taller than everyone else. He was like the most handsome out of all the people. And, you know, when Samuel introduces him, he's like, don't you see this amazing person that God picked? Okay. So he had he had everything going for him, but he was fearful of the people. And he cared more about what other people thought of him than he did his own heart and his own walk before God and being obedient to God. And that honestly was his downfall. So he appeared to be so self-confident, but it wasn't rooted in God. It was rooted in himself and how he portrayed himself. He built himself an altar. It was rooted in what the people thought of him more than it was obedience to God. And then you had David over here, who was a shepherd boy, the youngest of all these brothers. He wasn't even brought to the table when Samuel came to anoint the next king. But his confidence wasn't in who he was. It was more in who God was. And who God had called him to be and what God's word was for him, his anointing for that. I mean, he based his confidence in God and it stood the test of time. And I often go back to that passage in Samuel where Samuel basically calls Saul out and he says, listen, does God desire sacrifice over obedience? And I think so many times we as believers, we think, it's like we're putting on a show for God and we're putting on a show for the world, right? Yeah. We're saying like, look at everything that I can do. Look, I'm Superwoman. Look, I've got 4 kids. I've got them in every sport. I also am managing the house and I'm also an entrepreneur. And look at all these books I wrote and look at all this. And I volunteer at church. So we have this, you know, list of things of our accomplishments. And we're saying, look, God, look at everything that I can do. Look at everything I've done for you. And we're saying to others, we wouldn't say this, but our lives are saying, look, I'm Superwoman. Basically, I've got it all together. When God is saying, I'm not asking for your sacrifice. At the end of the day, I'm not asking for a list of everything that you've sacrificed and everything that you've done for me. Like, just throw that list away. What I care about is, are you being obedient to me in this season? Yeah. And is your life and your confidence grounded in me and not in others and not in yourself? And so that's a big leap to make. But when we do, it's like we have that underlying confidence because we know God is unchanging. Right. And our confidence rests in him so we can walk in who he's called us to be in confidence. And so that's the difference there.
Absolutely. That's said so well. So why don't you share with us how, you know, anyone listening to this might think, okay, well, that's great. Easier said than done. But how do we actually show up and have God confidence? Because, you know, what does that look like? And so what would you share with us about that?
I would say first, just show up with God. You know, I know we talk when I was younger, I heard so much about quiet times. I don't know if that's what it's called now, or devotional time, basically time where you're spending with God. And this is tricky because I would say for years of my life, I would show up to my time with God and I would set a certain amount of time. You know, if you're young and you have kids, I would put a microwave timer on for 30 minutes and I would be like, okay, you're watching Peppa Pig or whatever it is for the next 30 minutes. Don't disturb mom. And I would walk around the house and I would pray out loud. And eventually it just became normal to them. And it was amazing. So different, there's grace for different seasons.
Yeah.
So I would say in this phase of my life, showing up with God is essential. You can't have God confidence if you don't know his word. And if you don't even really know who he is, I mean, any great relationship starts with time spent. And I would say this too, that for many years, Kristen, I brought like my performance into my time with the Lord. So I would be like, okay, I'm going to read this many verses. I'm going to read this many chapters. I'm going to make sure that I'm spending this amount of time. I have my prayer list and I'm going to go through everything on my prayer list. And none of those things are bad, but I would say that I was missing a huge chunk of what a relationship with God really is. And a lot of it is actually quiet and listening. It's where, do I have enough self-control and willpower to be able to go on a prayer walk, right? And not have my mind the entire time racing with things that I need to do, with prayers I need to pray. But can I just quiet myself? Like, I started doing this for the first 10 minutes of my walk. I would just be with the Lord. That's it. Okay. I'm not going to worry about that. And I noticed that in my time with God, I either turned into a defense attorney, meaning I was like, Lord, this person did that and here's why they're wrong. Let me build you a case. You know, so I'm like, yeah. I'm like building a case before God. And God's like, I don't need to hear like all of that. You can share that with me, but there's more I have for you. I would either go that way or I would go, sometimes I would go dreaming, which is great. I love dreaming with God. That's good. But as soon as I started worrying about things, it's like I would come out of my prayer time. I'd be more worried than I went in my prayer time. I'm like, okay, this is wrong. So I now just take some time at the beginning. And sometimes my whole prayer walk turns into me just being quiet and I'm just listening. I'm listening for the Lord. I welcome God to just walk with me. And I think that that time has been really what has grounded me in my life. And if you don't have that, if you don't know his word, it's really hard to walk in God confidence with a God that you don't know. So I would say that is like my baseline. And then I would say, look for scriptures that you need. You know, sometimes we're so attached to reading the Bible through in a year. We have to get, Google up a verse. If you're struggling with fear or anxiety, you don't have faith to believe God for this next step. Google a verse and say, okay, I need a verse on faith. I need a verse on guarding my mouth. I need a verse. Right. And then meditate on those things and find out, or I need a verse on self-worth. What does God say about how he loves me? And let me hang on to that as I move on the road before me.
Absolutely. Well, you know, funny enough, I was just looking up, you know, some of the search words, you know, around faith. And most of the searches, between 10,000 and 100,000 searches per month, are around Bible verses for anxiety, Bible verses for hope, Bible verses for encouragement, inspirational Bible verses. So you are not the only one if you search for those things. And I've surely done it. I have a whole Pinterest board of and 80% of it is scripture or quotes that encourage me in my faith, you know? And so absolutely. Why do you think there's such a market for it? Not just for Bibles. We understand that, but it's because, you know, I even have scripture cards, right, that I give to people, but I also make them because we have to see those things over and over for it to really get ingrained into us, right? Yes. And so I think that's so important. And I love that. And I have quiet time, absolutely, with God. But then some of my walks, I'm listening to a podcast or music. But then other times, and of course, sometimes music, it is worship music. So I am kind of having time. But there's other days where I just know I have to turn everything off and I have to have quiet so that I can get reset, so that I can hear God, you know. And if I'm not hearing anything, I try to just take that time to thank him for everything I'm grateful for as I observe it on my walk, right? As I think about it. And, you know, it's just taking baby steps, just like you talked about. Every relationship takes hours and hours to build. And it's the same with our faith. You just have to put in a little bit of time, and then more time. But as you do, you will then start to understand, to hear more, the whisper or whatever you want to call it.
Oh, I totally agree. And I just think, you know, I think that the world, like social media, is loud. It's loud. It's addictive. Well, maybe I'm just talking, it's addictive for me. I'm like, I had to put limits on my phone.
Yeah. A lot of people.
I'm 44. So we put limits for our kids. I personally have limits on it. You know, here's what I do. We don't sleep with our phones by our bed or whatever. So a lot of times, you know, it's like, what are you feeding your soul? Do I spend more time in social media every day or looking on Pinterest or Facebook? And all of those things are fun. Like, I love pictures, but I have to organize and structure my life in a way where I'm not inputting more junk than I am inputting what I really need. And sometimes I think it's as easy as saying, okay, I'm going to put a limit on my social media or my Netflix binging. I'm going to put a limit on that. And I'm just going to take a little bit of that time and I'm going to devote it towards putting like the right things that I know will feed my soul into my life. And it's in those little steps that transformation happens. It's just a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit of awakening saying, I realize maybe this thing that I'm doing isn't the best to do all the time. Like, it's great. But I need to give that up so that I can put something else even better in. And so that would be like something practical, just like you're saying, Kristen, that I would just, you know, start there. Start with 5 minutes in the morning and 5 minutes at bedtime.
Absolutely. I agree. And then the other thing is too, besides limiting social, and it's because the data is there, right? The more time you spend on it, typically the worse we feel when we get off. But I tell people all the time, like, just like you need to curate your life, just like you're talking about, you also have to curate your feeds. So for instance, Instagram is the only place I spend, and not a lot of time, but some time for the most part. I mean, the other ones I kind of pop on real quick, then I get off. But I absolutely have curated my feed. So 90% of my content is either faith, encouragement, or like health, wellness, or food, you know, like type of like making something. And so when I go in there, I actually save so many things. I'm like, this is amazing because it's all stuff that's lifting me up or encouraging me in my faith. So later I might pull one of those things I read and go dig into it further. Or whatever. So absolutely. It's all about though being intentional, isn't it?
It is. It's all about intentionality, you know, and I think I see it so much because I have four daughters and, you know, they'll get off social media sometimes. Well, the older two have it, the younger two don't, but they'll, you know, they'll feel bad about the way they look, you know, or they'll be down that they aren't thinner or that they aren't prettier or that they don't have like this new thing. And I'm thinking, this is ridiculous. Like, you're gorgeous. Right. God has created you amazing. Like, whoever's telling you that on social media, like, just, and sometimes people aren't meaning to convey that message, but you know you. And so when you're saying like curating it, you know what lifts your spirit and then know what brings you down. And it's okay if you just unfollow someone, that's fine.
Right.
But curate it based on, you know, what's going to really encourage and speak to who you are.
Yeah, absolutely. So important. Okay. So I want to dive in you have so many, first of all, you have so many good sections of your book. And I'm going to just mention a couple, but I know we may not get, you know, we're not going to get to all of them. But you talk about a confident woman, you know, we have to look at our mindset, our perspective. You talk about, you know, being authentic, but of course, authentic to who God says we are, not just authentic, you know, in general. You talk about generosity, but the three that I want to focus on today, for the time we have left, is I want to talk for a minute about generosity, and I'll explain that in a minute. But then I want to dive into, you talked about a little bit earlier, but confident in our change, like being comfortable with change, but then also the creator, right? Like that God's a creator, but so are we. We're co-creators with him. And so we'll dig into that, I think, for the rest of the episode. But generosity, you talk about how, you know, the more generous we are, the bigger life becomes, right? Like, in other words, the more rich our life is, but the more, you know, stingy we are, basically, right? The smaller and smaller our life gets. So I would just love for you to share, you know, just maybe to encourage people, like, what does that look like in a way that we can apply it to our own lives, you know, because I'd say most of us hopefully feel like we're somewhat generous, but we know there's can be judgment with some people or some of us sometimes and these other things. So I'm just curious, what could you share us about?
I think generosity for me, it comes in so many forms, you know, and we serve a generous God. So John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. And so it's like in a Bible verse that we memorize from a young age, but we've got to grasp a hold of the truth. So generosity can come through finances. Yeah. But it also comes through time. It comes through energy. And this one was a very near and dear to my heart chapter because it really was born out of just margin I've created in my life. And let me say that margin and structuring your life according to your values, it's uncomfortable. And it's hard to maintain because so many things are screaming at you, especially in the American culture, to live really fast paced and to just accomplish more. So to really live a life where you can walk through life at a great pace with the Lord and you have margin for others is important. And so I was writing, to write this book, I spent time at a coffee house, a local coffee house, and these elderly women, they're all retired. They would walk in on Friday mornings during my writing time and they'd see me writing. So eventually they said, you know, hey, do you want to join us for coffee? And my initial thought was, this is my writing time and I need to, you know, get this done and I need to accomplish this task. So I said no for a couple of weeks and then finally I went one time for the first time. And these women were such a joy. And I thought that I was sacrificing of my writing time, quote unquote. And really what I found out is that in these people was a treasure that I would have never experienced if I did not have that margin in my life and if I didn't actually take that step. And so, you know, as I gave of my time to them, it was like my heart was just getting enlarged and I was going to love them. But how many of us actually have the time to do that with someone? For me, years, I didn't. You know, I had so many things to do. So I would say, you know, generosity is huge. It's something I'm so passionate about, not just financially, but with your time and your energy and how you can really love others. So that would be a little backstory on that one. The other two chapters, do you have any specific questions? And
Yeah, I think so. We talked a little bit about the change earlier.
Changes.
And so, and I love, like you said, you talk about transitional change and you talk about unforeseen change. And then, but then you talked to us and you shared with us about pioneering change. And I think, you know, I guess the only thing I would want to maybe add to that or have you add to that is, you know, what might that look like in an actual tangible way? You know, so maybe just give us an example of, you know, you talked about a little bit about now you transition to writing full time, you know, but for somebody that maybe right now isn't being called to something like writing or podcasting or speaking. So for the rest of us that are, you know, showing up to church or maybe doing online church, what might that pioneering change look like in some of our lives? So I'm just curious, like, what have you seen or what have you noticed?
I think that, you know, there's a verse that I came, so this would just be applicable to anyone, but there's a verse I came across in Acts, I believe it's chapter 7, where it talks about, I have my Bible right here, so I'm going to try and find it. Yeah, it's the story of Moses. So Stephen is talking about Moses, and it says this about Moses. He rose up to defend his people when he was 40 years old. You know, he killed an Egyptian to protect his brothers. And it says that he supposed that his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand, but they did not understand. And so then he goes in the wilderness, and it's 40 years later when God brings him back at 80, right? At 80, he brings him back, and he actually is the deliverer. But God put something in his heart that he knew of 40 years earlier. And so I think for some of us who maybe it's not, you know, you're doing a huge career change or anything like that, but maybe there's something that God has placed in your heart when you were 13 years old, or maybe you were 18 years old, and it keeps coming up over the years. Like maybe no one even knows about it, but it comes up in your heart. It comes up in your spirit, and only you know what that thing is. And can I say that that could just be the Holy Spirit not letting that thing die in your life? But you know, like Moses did, that he was supposed to be the deliverer. The people didn't understand at that time, but maybe now is the time as you sit before God and you say, wow, there's always been a desire on my heart to start a nonprofit, you know, a charity. There's always been a desire in my heart to mentor young girls. There's always been this desire to write a book, which I think everyone can at least write one book. You know, some of these things are honestly changes that God may be pushing us towards, but they start out as just a desire that just will not die in our lives. And I would say now's the time to lean into that desire, bring it before God and say, God, could you be asking me to make a change in this area?
Absolutely. I mean, that actually somewhat happened to me when I was young. Maybe I was 12 or 14. Yeah. I would write little, we'll just call them poems, like, but I would just write, and I never shared them with the whole soul, like never still to this day. Like, but I've found some of that writing, but, and then in some of it was about faith. And then by college, my major was not religion, but those were my favorite classes. And I was so drawn to them. And wow. I just loved that. And some of my favorite books were Christian authors. So it's like, I had this theme, but it was always in the background, you know, for most of my life. And yet, you know, and then I've done more writing, obviously, and things like that, you know, around faith. But that's been calling me for decades, you know, but it wasn't calling me to the point where it was, you know, deafening, but it was there, that same thread woven through my story. And so I think that's true with most people. There's something there, like you said. So I love that you shared that, actually.
And you're like, you're legit, Kristen. Can I just tell you that, like, your business world, your experience with business and corporate, and then linked with your entrepreneurship, linked with your faith, linked with your personability towards others and ability to really draw them in, like all of that together, you are with the Lord. You are just like, you're a powerhouse and you're very unique. And so I cannot wait to see. I just can't wait to see what God continues to do, because you're an encouragement to so many. And I'm glad you said yes and took the step of faith.
Thank you so much for that. That was so sweet. So let's jump into being a creator, because I think a lot of people, even my husband says to me all the time, oh, I'm not creative. Oh, I'm not. Now he's an engineer. Okay. But, and he was an architect major, you know, did that first. And I'm like, are you kidding me? If for Halloween, he has to draw some little anything at the last minute, I'm like, that's like perfect. What? And I know that doesn't mean creativity. Creativity is everything. But like, my point is, there's a lot of people, once we're not in preschool anymore, right? Because the data is there that the older we get, people don't think they're artistic anymore. People don't, because sadly, our school system, the way we're taught, kind of squelches it in us.
Yeah.
But tell me, what do you share in the book about, and what does God tell us in the Bible about being a creator or a co-creator with him? Because I just love this topic.
Yes, because I mean, in the beginning, God created. And we are made in his image. It is like one of the first things we see in scripture. And if we're made in the image of God, we are made to create. Now, I think we as humans limit it. We're like, well, if you're in dance or you paint or, you know, you can draw or you're in music, then you're creative. But that is not the scope of what creativity is. And so I came across this verse years ago that it just hit home with me, Kristen. And it's found in Isaiah 41:1, the Message version. God says, gather around me, say what's on your heart, and together let's decide what's right. And so many times we think of God as just, you know, maybe up in heaven and he's just telling us here, do this, do this, do this. But he's basically inviting us to create, mm-hmm. to create the life that we've always wanted. God has put desires in your heart, whether it's something as simple as doing a meal plan, designing your own house, or the way that you relate to people, or the way that you raise your kids. He has put these amazing desires inside of our heart, and they are creative. And he's saying, I want you to gather around me. Like, I want to be a part of the process, but I want you to be a part of the creative process too. You have creative ability. So let's just come together, sit, tell me what's on your heart in regards to this issue. And come on, let's create either a solution. Let's create a plan. Let's create something beautiful. And in your life alone is something that is so beautifully crafted that I believe God is inviting us to help craft, you know. Yes, I think a lot of times in my life, I complain instead of craft with God, you know. Mm. I complain instead of create. And God's like, girl, I put that wisdom in you. Like, I put the Holy Spirit in you. Right. You can create, you can craft. So what is it that's in your heart that I put there that you need to start walking towards? And when I talk about creativity or being a confident creator, that is exactly what I'm talking about in this chapter, because it's just really meant a lot to me.
Yeah, I just did an episode actually. Yeah, I couldn't find it, but I just did a episode. Oh, it's called Effort Driven Reward Cycle. But we were actually designed by God to use our hands. So we actually get happy chemicals when we use our hands to do something, especially if it's something productive. So gardening, yeah. Baking, painting, hugging, probably like anything. So actually we were designed to move, to use our hands. And so, and it can be in anything, writing, it, you know, whatever it is. And so problem solving. And so, yeah, I just loved when I saw that in your book. Like it just super delighted me, because one of the companies I have with my mom, it's kind of like on pause, is family fun. And it's all about sparking kids' creativity and imaginations. So I've been talking about creativity for like 15 years. And so when I then tied it into faith, I was like, why is not everybody getting this? You know, I mean, of course, some of us talk about this, but it's, yeah. To me, it's like, hello, hello. Like you said, I go on walks at sunsets every day. And I'm like, it's a beautiful painting that God painted, and it's different every day. Like what else do we need as like a guidepost? I don't even know, you know? So,
yeah, I know it's such a beautiful life. Like it's such a wonderful life.
You know, if we let it be.
Yeah. Yes, if we let it be. And like, I would say just like, take the pressure off of your shoulders. God is big enough to handle everything that you're going to face, everything that you face in the past, present, and future. And he wants life to not just be this drudgery. Of course, there's sin in life and all of that, but he wants it to be enjoyable. So what kind of life do you want? Like, what kind of life do you want to craft? And I can say, you know, every decade of my life has been the best decade so far. So I love teenage, I love 20s, 30s, but 40s has been phenomenal.
Right.
And so there's just so much ability there to be able to join and partner with God and create this beautiful life that I hope that every woman really just leans into.
Oh, I love it. I so agree with you. You know, that's why I still have two podcasts, or you might have a podcast network at some point, is because I want to say all the things, right? Like over there, I get to talk about even more. I mean, there's faith in it, but I get to talk about, you know, like wellness and, you know, improving ourselves. But it's all because I think God wants us to enjoy life, because we're here to do good, but we're also here to enjoy all the things he's already created, you know? And so I love it. And, there's a quote I was going to share with the audience with you earlier that I've shared before, but I want to share it again. And it's kind of about the change, but it's also about what you just said, which is we can actually live a life that's beautiful. And it's the pace that God intended for us to live, which is not hustle and hurry, that we can enjoy, you know, friendships and, you know, enjoying the meal and lingering, you know, and then being generous with each other. And so the quote is really about getting out of our comfort zone. And it's by Pastor Carolyn Haas. She's at Substance Church. Yeah. And I don't know her personally at this point. I've just listened to their podcasts and their messages. But she says the comfort, or it says your comfort zone is the greatest enemy of God's miracle zone. Mm-hmm. And so she talks about strategic discomfort, but we have to be willing to do something that we've not ever done before. So before you wrote a book or did the podcast, or before I wrote or did the podcast, we were uncomfortable, right? Yeah. In other words, discomfort is actually good. Yeah. And they talk about discomfort comes after, like, we take action. I forget the exact quote, yeah, but that's normal. And so if you're in a season where there's change coming, or you've never tried a new hobby or getting out of your comfort zone, like, these are good things. And as we use it and we use that muscle, it gets a little easier. Yeah. It doesn't mean everything's easier, but it does get easier, right, to do the next new thing.
Yes, it does. It does. Yeah. I love it.
Okay, so what would you just want to share with us is maybe your last idea or thought or scripture on just to encourage everyone. Just, you really already summed up so beautifully about, you know, what people should show up in their lives to do. But is there any other last words of encouragement you want to share?
Yeah, I would just share, I start the book out with one verse that has been a verse that I stand on. It's Psalm 56:9 in the Amplified Bible. It says, "This I know, that God is for me." Mm. And I would just encourage you, anyone listening, whoever is, you know, having secret desires in their heart that are from God, or things that are reoccurring and you're feeling a nudging towards, you know, change even, just know that God is for you. And so wherever he leads, he's not going to lead you to a terrible place. He's going to lead you to a really good, really sweet place. But sometimes we just need faith enough to take that first step. And so we're just here cheering you on.
Love it. Absolutely. Okay. So Jamie, can you share with everybody how they can learn about your books and the podcast and everything else you're doing in the world?
Yeah, you can follow me on social media. I'm on Instagram most, and it's connected to my Facebook, but it's Jamie Klusacek, JamieKlusacek. And that is also my website. So you can go there, jamieklusacek.com. And then you can also buy all my books on Amazon. If you like Kindle, you can get them on Kindle, or you can get them on my website. Either way, I'd love to connect with you. And it's been such an honor to be on your podcast.
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for sharing, you know, just your biblical wisdom and your own journey, and just so much beautiful things you had to say. And let me tell you, for anybody that can't see it, her books are gorgeous. Honestly, she's not wrong when she says these would make gorgeous coffee table books. You know, they're big, they're beautiful. There's so many great graphics and design in there, along with your wonderful and lovely words and scripture. So thank you for joining us. We'll of course add your info and then your book links in the show notes as well, so people can check those out there. But thanks again for just being a light in the world and sharing just the promises and just the hope and the joy that we can find in our relationship with God.
Oh, thanks, Kristen.
And I actually wanted to share with you, as we wrap up today's episode, a little bit from the book Own Your Brush by Rebecca Flott. She's an artist and obviously an author as well. She is who connected me and Jamie together to be able to do this interview and just to start, you know, supporting each other. And so I just want to share with you, because she's talking about creating, much like part of our conversation today. So she says, "Remember how we talked about seeds? Every moment of your life is a seed. You are either planting seeds for your vision of what you want, or you are planting seeds of doubt that your dreams will not happen. Every moment you don't invest in your future, you are doubting what could and will happen. Dream large and take action. Creativity reigns in what is available to you now. Don't wait for your dreams to come to you. Use what you have and start planning for your future. You have 24 hours in a day." And then she goes on to say later, "Whatever it is, don't hide it. When you have those things hidden, like under the seat of your car, your seed will stay there. You have to take action for your seed to be able to grow, for you to be able to flourish. You have to expose your seed to water, the sunlight, and you have to feed it and care for it. Friend, don't let your seed hide because you're afraid of somebody stealing the seed, or you're afraid of what others will think. When you plant the seed and you allow the sunshine to hit it, and you water it with life and positivity, it will grow faster than you can ever believe." So I just wanted to share that with you, because as you reflect back on this podcast episode and you think about being a confident woman and you think about showing up as a co-creator with God and you think about stepping in to that pioneering change and showing up with confidence, God confidence, I just want you to think about Rebecca's words as well and think about what are those little seeds in your life that are waiting for you to develop and what is God waiting for you to step into and take a risk. Be willing to get your hands dirty. Be willing to experiment and explore and get curious and step into moving towards those dreams and those desires that God's put on your heart. Thanks again for listening to the show. And if you enjoyed today's episode, we would love it if you could take a minute to leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts because it helps our show get discovered by more people. And if you'd like to be encouraged in your faith and in your life, go on to kristenfitch.com and sign up to get my newsletter. I have lots of freebies and lots of inspiration and encouragement that'll be coming your way. And I would love it if you joined part of our community.